Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation on FUBAR Radio with me, your host, Andrew White. We've got a fantastic show lined up today. I've got the brilliant Charlie Dinkin in the studio with me as my co-host all afternoon. We've got Jenny Chan coming up later in the show from Australia's Taskmaster and many other viral successes, plus a exciting mystery guest from SNL and the Golden Globes. It's all going on today here at the Pulse of the Nation. We are going to be getting into some of the news stories you might have missed, having a lighter take on some of the news stories that you've not been able to avoid, and just generally sort of laughing about the world around us as it sort of disintegrates. Speaking of which, we are of course now 1 week into a Donald Trump administration. Yes, and he has swung straight into action, signing over 35 executive orders, including attacks on LGBT plus rights and the trans community. Yes, we're starting off very funny, very light, good stuff. His 22nd order, of all the executive orders he signed, stated that there were only two sexes that cannot be changed, not just from birth, but from conception. Yes, the exact wording defined a female as a person belonging at conception to the sex that produces the large reproductive cell, that being eggs. But this wording actually means, it's been spotted by a few biologists, that every US citizen is now a woman, because all fetuses present as female until around 6 weeks. Yes, in their desperation to shoehorn in pro-life ideology, they've accidentally transed half the nation. It is a beautiful, very early doors cell phone from the Trump administration. And I just think, you know, make your mind up, Republicans. You can't be both. You seem confused. Is this a phase? You're either anti-trans or anti-abortion, and that is immutable. And the worst part of this is, amongst all these executive orders, his 26th one saw him rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Yes, he's transitioned the Gulf of Mexico, to use its dead name, to be more like a Yankee body of water. But I suppose we shouldn't be surprised. As we know, he doesn't really care for bodily autonomy. But fear not the rising tide of fascism, because Trump had a call this week with Prime Minister Keir Starmer, the big KS, our Lord and Saviour. He will sort Donald right out. I've got complete faith. I'm hashtag queer for Keir. I actually run a Keir Starmer fan group. We're called the Musketeers, because there's only three of us. But I know that Trump is a dopamine motivated man. And if there's anyone who can bore him into submission, it is Starmer. The man is so dull, he can barely manage a controversy. Almost every politician in the history of the UK has some sort of defining scandal. You know, Cameron fucked a pig, Theresa May ran through wheat, Ed Miliband ate a sandwich, for Christ's sake, and that was enough to be like the endearing, like long-lasting image. But there's nothing on start. Like, he just bats it away with tedium. He's like political tea foul. Nothing will stick. He's like, oh, well, actually, in my tenure at the CPS, it was a very complex, like, just shut up. Okay, fine. Look, we'll take it out of the news cycle. Just please stop droning on. It is an amazing sort of political power that he's got. Like, when you think about Keir Starmer, stop and think. Picture him. But you can't picture him. If we all gave descriptions to the police, the EFIT would just look like a Rorschach test, right? It's a blob of human so nondescript that he could easily be the UK's most prolific serial killer and get away with it. We'd never know. Like, genuinely, I think the UK-US special relationship is just going to be sort of like a Simpsons-esque Mr. Burns forgetting Homer. That's going to be the next 4 years of politics. It's like, Keir Starmer's on the phone. Who's that? Keir Starmer, he's the British Prime Minister, one of our closest allies. Elon called him a nonce. Starmer, eh? No, not ringing any bells. That's genuinely what we could look forward to. He's a man that's in charge of our nation. He has to deal with figures like Trump and Putin, especially recently, because this year it's been revealed that November in 2024, there were Russian spy ships off the coast of Cornwall, and they were sort of bobbing around and just doing some reconnaissance. And a British Navy submarine had to, like, emerge and sort of be like, we see you. Yes, that's genuinely what they sort of, like, put out to Putin. That's what the defense secretary said to Putin, is we see you, right? This is sort of like child's game. Like, they were accused of, like, loitering. Like, you can't loiter, no loitering. Warfare in the UK is now being run on, like, leisure center pool rules. You know, no loitering, no running, no food, no bombing, obviously. And it's just, yeah, it's such a weird situation that we've got Keir Starmer in charge of all of this sort of exciting stuff. But in lighter news, weight loss jabs are back in the headlines. Yes, literally, lighter news. The British Pharmacists Association has warned against their sale as private medications like Ozempic soar in popularity. Now, Ozempic was actually intended as a revolutionary diabetes treatment, which my dad, just on a personal level, he actually greatly benefited from Ozempic. But unfortunately, due to the celebrity fad of Ozempic, he actually had to stop. He's now on full-time insulin. He can't go back to Ozempic, which is obviously sad. But it does mean, rather hilariously, that my 60-year-old white rural British dad now has personal beef with Oprah. I mean, it is beautiful just to watch this man sort of like muttering around the house going, oh, fucking Khloe Kardashian. Like, he has no idea who his new enemies are at all. He has no idea. Unless Kelly Osbourne's secretly made a World War II in colour documentary, he would never be aware of her. But still, she is a mortal foe. And also, fun fact, whilst I was researching Ozempic celebrities, my favourite user of Ozempic was a rapper called Fat Joe. Fat Joe, or as he's now known, of course, Joe. The hard thing for Joe is this is actually his second time he's had to change his name due to recent body positivity movements. Fat Joe actually had to rebrand as Brave Joe. And some final actual like news, a beautiful little story down in Taunton about a cat called Bean, an 8-year-old cat who's been recognised and awarded as a charity shop volunteer. She visits the Sue Rider in Taunton every day and has done for 5 years, and just hanging around greeting customers. I think it's so sweet, and it cements for me, just if I can sort of put a message out to the world, that Sue Rider is the top charity shop. It's number one, right? They are doing stuff that no other place can compete with. Like British Heart Foundation, they're sort of hot at the heel, but they'll never be number one, partly because they constantly betray me. I don't know if you've ever had this betrayal from the British Heart Foundation. You're walking down the street, you see the BHF logo, you think, oh, this is going to be a good time. You get up to the BHF and it's actually a furniture and electrical, right? I'm not looking to furnish a one-bedroom flat, British Heart Foundation. I'm exclusively interested in dead people's knitwear, right? I don't want a divan, right? I want 3 copies of the 40-year-old version on DVD. Stay in your lane. Sue Ryder, meanwhile, they're knocking out of the park. I will give them all my money. I say that, I give them all my money. The only one problem with Sue Rider is I have no idea what they do as a charity. Right, for all I know, Sue Rider could be a pro-eugenics charity. Thank you so much for your donation. You're helping fund vital research. What in? The medical eradication of ginger people. Oh, okay. Just this tiny porcelain owl then, please. But even if Bean the Cat is helping fund redheaded sterilisation, she is too cute not to forgive. And I can only assume there's a ginger cat somewhere that's wronged her. And finally, as I always finish with parking news, here's a unique one from Alabama. A baby born in a Krispy Kreme parking lot has been offered a year of free donuts for him and his family, as well as a free birthday party every year until 18. Now, as much as I think this is Big Donut's first move in the war against birthday cake, I must take this opportunity to say, America, you're not all bad. This headline would be very different in the UK. It would be woman fighting £2,000 parking fine for giving birth in Greg's car park, right? Parking Eye Limited and or one of the other ANPR mafia would somehow straddle you and your newborn with a PCN each. Like, I honestly think that Parking Eye is the UK's United Healthcare. And whilst Luigi Mangione might be an extreme response to a £40 overstay fine from Lidl, we could at least go for a classic British milkshaking of the CEO. Phil Boynes, you better have a good dry cleaner. But to save me from getting too deep into the weeds of a parking warfare, which has seemed to escalate in my violence every week, I'm bringing in my beautiful, wonderful, fantastic co-host, Charlie Dinkin. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Wow, the scope of that news was unbelievable.
We really did cover everything. Charity shop cats, Parker. Do you think I was too harsh on Parking Eye CEO Phil Boynes?
No, I liked it. I felt a roller coaster of emotions. I can't talk respectfully about anything to do with cars or roads at the moment, though, because I recently left a family party and 1 minute onto the road went through a pothole and took out both of my left wheels.
No! Oh, yeah. My goodness.
So I am at war with West Sussex Council now.
Well, good. Godspeed. Right. I always fight the council, always try and get your money back. I did once successfully do it from Wiltshire Council.
Did you really? How long did it take?
Like about 2 weeks. I'll send you all my paperwork and see if that's
any use. Please, if you will. They already came back and they were like, we see you submitted it to West Sussex Council, but instead you must submit it to the Sussex Council of West or some bullshit like that.
It's just the passing of the buck in this country is awful. I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's terrible here.
Are you, and so obviously you're impassioned about sort of the state of the roads in the UK. Are you involved in any other sort of news going on? Are you a newsy person?
I'm not really a newsy person. I don't like to hold any extra information in my brain about anything if I can possibly help it. I used to look at the news more, but then I wrote for some topical shows, some radio shows, and I thought, I don't need this on my time off. I just want to scroll happily through nonsense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Also, obviously, I write for this every week. It's just like, you just get, when you're doing this writing cycle for new stuff, it's just so depressing.
Yeah.
It just really brings you down. And like, I don't particularly like the Daily Mail, sort of like I'm not a big fan.
A strong statement there.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. We're controversial, uncensored here at FUBAR Radio. And let me say, Daily Mail, not the best.
Not sure about that.
Yes. I'm ambivalent, it was what I'd say. Like, I'm not necessarily sure of them.
I'll click, but I won't feel good about it.
No, exactly. Well, I don't feel good about it, but they're the only news outlet spewing out 100 stories a day that I can sort of search for this thing.
It's true.
And it's just, it's like the site is, it's ADHD, like, porn for 50-year-old, 60-year-old men and women across the UK. It's so, like, there's so much text and there's so many adverts. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah, I hate it. But I do need to know what Timothy Chalamet is doing on his holiday.
Yes,
for
some
reason.
Just a sort of really weird, grainy picture of him like on the deck of a boat. And he's just like, is that Timothy Chalamet? I guess.
I gotta know.
Is that Sultan? Is that the headline? Timothy Chalamet uses Sultan? Okay, I guess that's news.
Thank you, Daily Mail. Then they get you. They're in your brain. You can never escape. Mm-hmm. Stay away. You gotta stay away.
Yeah, that's good advice. We've settled on a stance on the Daily Mail here at FUBAR.
Which is, we're not that sure, but we don't mind it if we have to or there's time to spare.
Exactly. Pretty hardcore stuff here on the radio. So you're not necessarily that newsy, but something did catch your eye this week.
Yeah, I saw a story today. How would you like me to deliver it to you?
Give me the headline. What's the headline?
The headline, this is on BBC News. It said, ashes of 300,000 people unclaimed, undertakers say.
Wow. 300,000 loved ones.
Ashes have not been claimed. There were some details. Mm-hmm. These date back to the 1960s.
The 60s? They've been
some
there for
have been
60
there.
Plus years.
Some people have lived longer, presumably, than the length of their life in a shelving unit at an undertaker's.
How do they store ashes at an undertaker's?
I guess just in a filing cabinet, don't they? Piled up. They can't, in a box? Do they just stay in a box?
Or maybe like a Ziploc bag?
Just in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah, because you'd have to keep them separate. If they can say exactly how many people there are, it's not like a mush
of
ashes. That's
true. They at least have to pretend from the start they know whose ashes are whose, even though they definitely don't.
No, they've definitely mixed that
up. I don't want to do any truthing here, but I'm pretty sure the ashes are just a bunch of ashes that were in there at the time.
Yeah, well, look, we're a hardcore station. We've got thoughts about the Daily Mail. We've got some truth bombs about the ashes of 70-year-old dead people. Do you know what I would like? Because it's this sort of unclaimed territory, what we do with all unclaimed things on British television, Storage Hunters Auction. Just go
auction
and
auction them out.
Buy somebody, see who you get, just do something with them. I think if we collectively, if every person willing took a person's ashes and did something with them, that'd be like sweet. You know?
That'd be kind of magical. Actually, that's as good as it's going to get. I was looking while I was on my scroll yesterday. I saw an unverified piece of news that apparently someone tries to dump ashes in It's a Small World at Disney World every single day.
Every single day?
Every single day they have to stop someone dumping some ashes in there.
Oh my God. Do they just like see the bag come out and they're like, oh, we got a code red?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you like scoop them out in like a little fishbowl or something? What if they've made it to the water? But at the same time, I don't mind it. Yeah. I'm not going in that water.
I wonder whether, like, obviously there's a few people there that just like love Disney and I would just want to be associated with Disney in my death.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a few like foreign nationals who can't get home who are just trying to repatriate the ashes of their loved ones. It's like, well, we're going on the African section. This'll do.
Yeah, get it done. Get it out. They're gone. They don't know. My grandmother has always told us, she said that when she dies, she wants the whole family to get together and take her ashes to Hartlepool and put them in the sea. And then we all sort of nod, but we're like, there's no way we're all going to Hartlepool. And together? Absolutely not.
Even a connection to Hartlepool, or is she just...
She's from there, but there's
right,
no
fair
way.
Enough. No, yeah.
I don't even know if she's going in the sea near my house. She's going to the wind outside the funeral home, if she's lucky.
That's quite a beautiful sort of big poetic ending, though. It's like very cinematic, just to...
Be free.
Chuck and go, yeah.
Be free. Don't live in a pocket or a barrel or an urn. Never be in another vessel. Be with the wind.
Sorry, I just want to pick you up on a barrel there. A barrel, yeah, yeah. How big was your grandmother that she might be in a barrel?
It could really go either way with her. She's skinnier by the minute. That's too depressing.
Well, once she's cremated, the weight will just shed.
I'm just
going
to ask for one handful of it. I'll be like, you guys keep the rest. I know you've got a space.
Yeah, that's fair. I Googled it. It's like about average £5 for ashes of a dead body.
It's just goodness to know eventually I'll be thin. There's something to look forward to.
It's quite a mass of of like ash, really.
It's a lot, isn't it?
And I wonder, because it's obviously probably a burden to the UK, whether we could sort of have like a competition international, like, because obviously you compete for ashes in the cricket.
Yeah.
Whether every nation sort of just puts forward their unclaimed ashes and we just, the loser gets the ashes.
The loser, not the winner.
No, yeah, the loser has to deal with the ashes.
Has to deal with a big pile of ashes.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? That would make cricket 1% more interesting to me.
It really would, because I would much prefer to see two cricket teams trying to lose.
Yeah.
That's going to be funnier.
You're assuming they want the ashes. They do want the ashes, but not those ashes.
Yeah. That's what we should do, is we'll do the ashes, and then at the end, you know, say Australia win. Is it Australia? I'm not a very sporty person. I have no idea. I've really launched into this.
We're just talking about cricket, are we?
Yeah. I think you're exactly the kind of person I expected to get onto cricket with.
What are the main teams? I actually did play cricket in primary school.
Oh, yeah.
I insisted. I ran a campaign. I wanted to play cricket, even though girls weren't allowed to play cricket and boys were. And then I was allowed, but I was on the G team.
G?
I was on G.
How many kids did you have that went all the way down to G?
Yeah, I think I was like with kids several years younger than me in the worst team for their year. And I was like, what a victory.
A feminist victory there from Charlie Dinkin. Right, we're going to head into our first break. But when we get back, we'll have a very exciting mystery guest and we'll be heading into local Facebook forums.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Pulse of the Nation. We've got a very exciting mystery guest on the line. I've got my co-host, Charlie Dinkin. It's your job to guess who this person is, why they're relevant. His name is Miles Mitchell. Hello, Miles.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
A pleasure. Right. So this is my co-host, Charlie. She's got three questions to ask you about why you've been in the news recently. And I'll let her go.
Only three?
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Miles. Have you been in the news for a good reason?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun reason, yeah.
That's cool. Did you win some kind of competition?
Yes, I did.
I think you're really sniffing around the right answers now.
I think I have a good sense. Did you win a competition for looking like someone?
Yes, I did.
Are you a Timothy Chalamet lookalike?
Yeah. Wow, you're so good at this. Oh,
that was
God.
Very impressive.
You do look a bit like Timothy Chalamet.
Well, I should hope so. This is Miles Mitchell's won a New York contest to look like Timothy Chalamet. You were the most lookalike, and you've had a whirlwind career since then. You've met Timothy himself. You've been on SNL. You've been to the Golden Globes. Tell me about the day. What did you actually win on the day?
So the day of, I won an astounding prize of $50.
Yeah. Nice.
Incredible. And then I also, the coolest thing was I won a 6-foot trophy. Like, I mean, yeah, like about like 6 feet tall of like number one Timothy Chalamet lookalike that I literally had to take home for like 2 hours on the subway and on the train.
Wow.
Where is it now? Do you keep it?
Yeah. It's the first thing I look at when I wake up in the morning.
Nice. That's good. That's good for the old ego. Like, we just doom scroll. But if I had a 6-foot statue for looking like a famously attractive person,
yeah, you'd be carrying it around every day.
Yeah. You were on SNL literally just this weekend gone. You were involved with Timothy Chalamet's hosting. What was that experience like? That's so cool.
Yeah. So it's actually funny that you say that, because that actually wasn't me. They casted a lookalike of a lookalike.
Really?
Yeah, and they did actually reach out to me to do it. Unfortunately, I was in Europe at the time, and they were expecting a really quick turnaround, so I wasn't able to make it for the promo.
Oh, no.
I know. So it was a bit of like a... I was a bit sad about it, but it's, at the same time, I was able to revisit some of my friends I met studying abroad in Europe. I was actually studying abroad in London for 6 months a year ago.
Oh, no way. Oh, we should have done this a year ago. We could have had you in the studio. So you've done like so much. Like, when you won it, because this competition went so viral, like it was just everywhere. What happened? It was just picked up by everyone. Were you just a whirlwind of attention for 48 hours? What was immediately happened the day after?
Yeah, so it was the biggest sensory overload of my entire life. As soon as I won the contest, I've never had, I think the most amount of pictures taken of me in my entire life was in like that 15 minute interval of winning. There were so many flashes, so many microphones being put in my face, and I never expected any of that to happen. Like, I showed up to this contest as a joke. Like,
yeah.
Here's what happened, and then I check Instagram an hour later, and I'm on like the front of Vogue, like on their Instagram, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I literally could not even fathom it. And the day after, my phone was blowing up like crazy. Like I would just refresh every single time. There'd be like a new DM or a new like email of like, oh, can we interview you? Oh, can you do this? Can you wear our clothing? Can you do this? And it was like definitely like that like 5 seconds of fame right there. Like yeah. It genuinely felt like this is what it's like to be a celebrity. And it was just so much going on. And actually, when I did win the contest, I was getting so many like interviews immediately after. And I was so overstimulated because the reporters and interviewers were all being like aggressive with each other. They're like, I have first, like this and that. So I would answer like all these interviews and my eyes would be darting like everywhere because I'm like so overstimulated. It was so hectic, but it was really fun though. Like I would have never expected anything of it. So I'm very happy about it still.
Good. I'm very glad. I'm glad you had fun. And also in your newfound fame, you learned the first lesson of celebrity, which is journalists are subhuman. They are the worst. They're just competing for all your attention.
Not all of them. I mean, you guys are really
not all of them.
Cool.
Oh, thank you. Well, to be fair, we are not journalists, but I appreciate that we've been elevated to that sort of high status.
We do have microphones.
That's all you need. We've just got microphones. This actually isn't even going out. I just wanted to meet you, Miles. I sent you a DM and it wouldn't get through. So I just thought I'll set up a radio show and that's the best way I could reach you. When you went to the competition, was it off your own back? You're like, well, I look a bit like Timothy. Or was like, were people saying, hey, you got to enter this?
So a bunch of my friends were like sending me the flyers because they post Anthony Poe, the YouTuber who came up with the contest idea. He put up 100 different flyers around New York City. And my friends who live in New York, and they were posted online too, they started sending me the flyers like, dude, you should go to this. And I was just like, okay. But it was just like on a Sunday, like I wasn't really doing anything. And then the day before I went to Goodwill and bought like an outfit that could resemble Willy Wonka. So it was all super like spontaneous and last minute.
That's amazing. So you just literally, our Goodwill equivalent is just like charity shops here in the UK. And it's just like all like just 80-year-olds, like dead women's clothing is sort of the majority of it. And you took that and you made a famous sort of moment out of it. I love that. I'm a big fan of charity shopping. I love your ingenuity. How do you feel about this sort of comparison to Timothy Chalamet? Are you a fan of his? Did you see many of his films beforehand?
So it's funny because I've never watched, like prior to like maybe a few months ago, I've never watched a Timothy Chalamet movie. Him because everyone always says I look like him for the past few years. And I've watched 2 movies now, which is pretty good. I've seen Dune 2.
Yeah.
Not even Dune.
Yeah, going with 2. That's what they say.
Yeah. And then I saw A Complete Unknown recently because they invited me to a movie screening.
Cool.
And then I actually met him for the first time there.
Wow. How was that?
Oh, it was crazy. I didn't think I was actually going to meet him. It wasn't like planned that like, oh, you're going to meet him. He's just going to be there. But I somehow managed to get a seat at the front row. So when he did like show up to like talk to the audience, like before he left, I like kind of was like, yo, like Timothy. And then he was like, and then I think he recognized me from the concert. He was like, oh, like what place did you get? And then I was like, first. And then he was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then he asked me to take a picture.
That's cool.
And that honestly to me, like that goes to show like he's really just a nice guy. Like he's really humble. And even though he's like one of the most famous celebrities in the world, like when you like actually meet him or like talk to him, you don't get those vibes at all, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. It's always nice to hear that celebrities are nice. But also, I suppose if you think about it, in that dynamic, you are more famous because he's seen everything you've been in. You've only seen 2 of his films. So I think he's a fan of you, actually.
But I've kept that in like a, I wanted to make sure like I don't like study him. Because I don't want to be like creepy about it.
Yes.
You know, like I don't want to be like, oh, I'm obsessed with looking like you. I'm like taking notes, copying his wardrobe, his style and stuff like that. Like if I'm hoping that in the future, if this ever does escalate, I would love to like actually like be friends with him. And I would like to have like a person to person relationship rather than like a like I'm like worshiping him and
yeah.
I'm trying
yeah.
to
for sure.
That is so healthy and reassuring and like, look, this is like a newsy show and God, it's so depressing just reading every sort of headline. So just to have a heartwarming story with normal, nice people
yeah,
is
unbelievably
very lovely.
Sane.
Yeah, unbelievably sane. Do you have anything to promote, Miles? Have you got any podcasts or appearances or stuff that you'd like to shout out?
Yeah, sure. I have like my Instagram and my TikTok. It's miles.mitchell. And also same as my YouTube.
I'm going to go follow you. I'm going to follow your YouTube.
I can't wait.
Up with everything you're doing. Miles, thank you so much for joining us. Have a lovely rest of your
day. Thank you, Miles.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Take care. What a lovely, lovely experience.
Delightful. Oh, I'm so excited. That does feel like meeting a true celebrity to me.
Yeah, you think that's near enough to Timothée Chalamet?
I'm more interested in him than Timothy. No, that's not true. Timothée Chalamet seems cool. I don't know. He seems like a laugh.
He does seem like a laugh. And he uses Sultan sun cream, I've heard.
Yeah, yeah, that's
I read that in the mail
too.
The other day.
I read it in the mail, and I know he goes on holiday.
So funny, that's the because you didn't know that Miles was coming up. You didn't know.
I just organically brought up Timothée Chalamet.
He's just there, always there at the front of the
mind.
Yeah,
it was meant to be.
Yeah.
He didn't look that much like Timothée Chalamet, but maybe he was the most out of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a few of the other entrants. I think he probably was the most, and also his costume was very, like, I'm surprised he said it was from Goodwill.
Yeah, yeah, to be fair, like, the costume is good effort, and funny to not have seen any of the films. That's kind of incredible.
Yeah, big fan of that. Straight in with Dune 2. That's it. I've seen the cinematography now. Well, from international superstars to local nonsense, basically, we're heading into some Facebook forums now, as we do every week. This is sort of the news that really matters, I think. This is the people...
Oh, I agree.
They get really angry, and well, even this post that's come up, it's feeling angry. Are you a Facebook lurker, Charlie?
I'm not really Facebook, but I cannot escape a WhatsApp group. Oh,
the sinking
feeling in my heart when I join or get added to a new WhatsApp group. Oh, I'd rather die. I'd rather die than look at WhatsApp.
Is it all like local, like your housing group?
Yeah, like dogs, dogs in the park.
Dogs in the park.
People in a similar career to me. Women talking about women's things. So many reasons you could be added to a WhatsApp group.
Mm.
And everyone is just off topic and annoyed.
Yeah, and that's worse because at least Facebook, you can check in and out. But what it's just like there, ba-ding, ba-ding, ba-ding.
It's true, but I can't risk Facebook because I don't want to see what my dad has to say.
Oh, right. Well, maybe your dad will come up on these. Is he a prolific poster?
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, is he in Tewkesbury?
He's not in Tewkesbury, so we might dodge him this time.
Yeah. Well, we start with the open Tewkesbury notice board. Heartbreaking for this person who's feeling angry. Got charged twice for a bottle of squeezy mayo today in Aldi Tewkesbury. Didn't notice until I checked my receipts tonight. Not happy. We'll check receipts before I leave the store in future. Now, what is obviously very sad. He's had to pay twice for his squeezy mayo. But this is a notice board. What would you put on a notice? What sort of important things would you put on a notice board?
Well, it's an open Tewkesbury notice board, isn't it? So it really can be anything. So I think this does fit the theme of the notice board.
So you're defending this mayo sort of...
It's a little bit of a personal feeling. It's more of a vent. But it is, in a way, a PSA because it's saying, check your receipt before you leave the Aldi. But I also, having recently paid for something in a Marks and Spencer's and left it behind, I think being charged for two and having one is better than paying for one and having none. What's your thoughts on that?
Yes, I'd rather be charged for two and at least have the thing.
Exactly.
And then what I will do, actually, I shouldn't say this on air, is what I will shop correctively. So what my local Asda, for example, they're really terrible with their stock management. They very rarely actually add the deals into the system.
Yep.
So like it'd be like, you know, £4 or £5 or whatever.
Yep.
And it won't actually come up. And I'm like, right, well, that's okay. I will just get four of these things.
Add a little deal.
And I'll steal something else so that I get the value. And I'm not stealing. I am just doing the work for them.
I think that's fine.
To correct my shopping. So if I'd been charged for two mayos, next time I'd steal a mayo.
Yeah, that's go comment that underneath. I think that's good advice.
I will. I had to choose free and immediately get
I don't mind it. I think it's like, it's a bit emotive. It's not super useful, but at the same time, it's not entirely off topic.
Okay, fair enough. I just have such a high bar for Facebook posts. I think if you've gone to the effort of opening up your app, typing out the thing and posting it, and actually searching onto a group specifically to post it, I think it should be of more value than that. But then again, if everyone applied that theory, we wouldn't have this segment. Yeah.
It's true, but also, can I just say one more bit of information I'd like to know is, was this self-checkout or was this being checked out by a person?
You think they've accidentally scanned it themselves twice?
If they've done it themselves, what a peculiar admission. Then it just is like your failure, but if it's the shop's failure, then I think spread the news.
Bring all hell to Aldi Tewkesbury.
Bring hell to Aldi Tewkesbury.
Well, move to the next one. What did you leave behind in M&S, by the way?
A frame.
A frame?
Yeah, I was buying a frame. It was like from a big M&S.
Oh no, that's like actually a big thing.
Yeah,
as well,
it was expensive. It was like £12 and I was cross.
Oh, that is, I'm very sorry.
I searched my bag several times, even though I knew it wasn't there.
That is what a heartbreaking realization. Yeah. Well, maybe it got you so angry that you are the person behind this post. There's a man shouting up by the shops. He isn't approaching people, but he's very loud and angry. So use caution.
What an overcorrection. It's just like, first of all, why is that man even still going to be there by the time anyone else who's on this boat? Do we know where this is from? Is this Tewkesbury still?
No. It's been blocked out. The anonymity of the town has been protected in this post.
I think this is something that happened to you. You framed this like advice, but it's not useful advice to anyone else.
There's constant framing on Facebook of self-importance, basically.
Yeah.
This, like, I'm actually a good Samaritan. Just to let you know, there's a guy yelling. It's like, well, maybe he's yelling for a reason. Maybe he's seeing the state of the world. Maybe he's left a frame behind in M&S. He's got stuff to be angry about. Leave him be.
Well, exactly. And also, he isn't approaching people, but he's just yelling. You're allowed to yell. Yell freely, I say.
Yell, yes. This is our strong stances here on Food Bar Radio. Yell freely, steal mayo, and we're not too keen on the Daily Mail, but we will read it if we need to. Anyway, yeah. next, we head to Facebook Marketplace. I'm a big fan of the Marketplace posts. speaking of sort of commemorations and ashes, this is Free Funeral Flowers. So they're a collection of sort of flowers arranged into letters. Two times uncle,
yep.
One times granddad, brackets, which can be split in two, gran and dad.
Oh yeah, that's quite canny actually, isn't it? So it covers quite a lot of instances.
One times father. But like, why do you need this number of what's tragedy?
No, they've made a terrible mistake here in their sadness, and obviously RIP to this uncle, granddad, dad.
But I see.
What they didn't do was say, please don't send flowers in advance, which is crazy that people would have to be reminded that. So they've massively been overcorrected. This is the nicest thing that could possibly happen to these flowers, that they go off to be free for someone else's uncle, granddad funeral.
Yes, yeah, that's
two
fair.
Uncles is obscene. That is a two family who is uncle. Not talking to each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they are not communicating.
I don't know if you find this. My mother is just like any sort of death, even just like tangential, like very rarely knows us, is sort of just an immediate effort to coordinate grief. It's just like,
you must.
How can I?
Someone has to do it. And,
yeah.
And that is their role. Me personally, I don't want to be involved in the organizing at all. I want to turn up. I want it to be complete chaos. I want to leave and hurl the ashes into the wind. That's the only way to acknowledge a life.
A chaos funeral is the best. Up there with a chaos wedding.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
To turn up to a wedding and for nothing to work, it's what a rare treat, because people are too intense about them.
It's like watching a car crash with no fatalities and free cake.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Gorgeous.
I've not been to a really deranged wedding in a while, but I welcome them in my lives.
If you've got a deranged wedding, send us an invite, please.
Speaking
of drama, of intrigue, of stakes, high stakes, we're into the Felling Group. For this question, did anyone see Deal or No Deal tonight? I missed the last few minutes. What did he have in his box?
Oh, to miss the last few minutes.
I know. Just like, at this point, get Sky Plus, mate. Well, there you go. Well, that's our Facebook forums. We're going to go into a break, and then we'll have Jenny Tan in the studio.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. Joining us in the studio with my co-host Charlie Dinkin, the brilliant Jenny Tan. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm going very well. I mean, it's a bit rainy, but I'm feeling good other than that.
Yeah, it's been very miserable. I got caught in a massive thunderstorm, like hailstorm, that came down in such aggression, in like sheets, that I saw a flock of pigeons get hit out of the sky. They were flying along,
gosh.
And they went straight to the ground. Yeah.
If only we could get rid of pigeons all the way that way, you know, all the time that way.
Are you an anti? Because I've seen you did lots of brilliant reels, especially lots about like London life and like differences with Australia. You're not a fan of pigeons?
I just, you know what? Because we have so many of them in Australia as well, and it's really annoying. So it's not a novelty when I come here. Like, I think the birds are unusually large and scary. Mm. For example, your seagulls. I don't know if you know how scary your seagulls
are. Yeah, we know.
They're inhumane. They're like, I mean, obviously they're not human. They're seagulls. But like, you know, they're just like, they're just absolutely savage. Same with pigeons as well. So
they're just eating a lot of chips. They're beefing up on chips all the time.
Beefing up.
Yeah, they are. What are they trading for? It's scary.
That's a good question. There may be some sort of reckoning coming, some sort of bird apocalypse on the way.
Oh, my
God. We're all focusing on climate change, but we should keep an eye on the birds.
If anything, don't have the energy. No,
I'm just going to let whatever happens
take
just
me.
Roll over you. Yeah, fair enough. this is a broadly newsy show. It's very loose. Are you a newsy person? Do you read a lot of news?
I wish I was more newsy. You know what I mean? I wish I was that person that read like the... What's a smart newspaper? I don't know. The Economic Times. Is that what it's called?
Financial Times.
That's my favourite too.
You know, oh, it's The Economist. That's the one. That's the one.
Oh, right. Like, yes, those. You've smushed them together.
Yeah.
You've
Telegram.
Sort of made a super intellectual document. I like that.
Yeah. So I wish I read something like that, but I kind of just, I get my news from like social media and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. In Australia, we got like an Instagram page called The Daily Oz. Mm. And it's kind of like just it's a great news source, which tells you the news in like one tile, like in a real summary. And then in the description is like more detail and stuff. Mm. So you can just get like your daily news, like just via that one Instagram page. And it's like, it's a pretty reliable source. It's like not biased as well. I mean, all news is a little bit biased, but it's not as biased as a lot of the other media outlets that are out there. So that's how I'm used to consuming the news. And I haven't found an equivalent here in the UK.
There isn't one.
Just zero detail. That's what I'm looking for as well.
We were talking about a publication which we have no feelings towards, negative or positive, called the Daily Mail.
You know
the Daily Mail.
what
it gets everywhere.
Well, there was a post the other week, and it was just like Chris McCausland, the comedian from who won Strictly, threatens to sue dance partner, and you click on it, it's just like dance partner does a silly Instagram post and Chris McCausland comments, oh, I'll get my lawyers, laughy face emoji. And it's like, how is that the lead? A, how is this news? And B, why is that the lead headline? That's not.
And also, you have to think that at some point, someone was paid to go on social media and turn this into a news story and then run it by their editors and managers. It's like, how much money do they have to just pump into like useless stuff like this, you know?
Yeah.
It's just constant. It's a constant stream. My favorite when they make a story out of like three tweets, it's just like people furious at Muppets Christmas Carol, and there'll be a tweet with literally two likes quoted to the source that just says, I think the Muppets Christmas Carol's a bit woke, actually. And it's like, yeah, so you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And you are ripping up the UK comedy scene since you moved here, although you're about to go back to Australia and do your show Jenny's Travels.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Travelling back home, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll be doing a London date and Edinburgh the Fringe as well, hopefully.
Yes, I will be in August. That'll be coming up soon.
Nice. Tell us about the show. What's it about?
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's about me travelling. And, you know, I've only been to the UK. So it's a lot of the UK. It's got a story about how my phone got snatched. I got my phone snatched, but guess what? I got it back. So it's a victorious story.
Okay, that's exciting.
I ran after the person, got it back, and then, I don't know. It was actually a really nice experience.
Oh, great.
They just handed it back to me. Everyone on the street saw what happened. They were like, oh, let's walk you to your next destination. Make sure you're okay. Like, it was actually, I was like, wow, you know what? This is a bad experience, but it really shows how welcoming people in London are. And ever since then, I'm like, okay, maybe that was a wrong impression. I'm not as welcoming as I initially thought.
Yeah, you really, what a first experience to have, that is, to be like held aloft and walked across London.
Yeah.
That's not normally like that. Also, I'm surprised most people, I would have thought most people would have been like, why'd you do that? You could have had a knife. Why'd you do that? But no, they actually celebrated your win. And I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know what I think it was? It was summer and everyone was happy.
In a good mood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
2 days of sun.
If it was winter, everyone would have been like, what are you doing, you idiot? You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully when summer runs around during Edinburgh, you can have a happy experience with the people up in Scotland.
Yes.
But meanwhile, we'll head back to the UK. I know Scotland is in the UK, but specifically... I've got...
You're like, where I live?
Boy, oh boy.
This is an uncensored radio station, by the way. I should have said that. So we're allowed to say pretty controversial stuff here.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
So far, we've advocated for the theft of mayonnaise. We've said some pretty middling stuff about the Daily Mail. And I've just credited Scottish independence accidentally. So, yeah, you can say what you like. Do you have a controversial statement on your mind ready to go?
Okay, you know what? Okay, here's one that, I'm going to talk about soon. The UK is the only place I've been to where people are proud of being poor. And they're like, I'm working class. I'm very working class. My family is very working class. Nowhere else in the world does that. If you were to go to America or Australia or any other place, they'd be like, okay, you're poor. Why are you bragging about being poor? We have yachts. Like, that's what you brag about. It's like how much money you have and wealth and, you know, going to Harvard and stuff. Whereas here, if someone like went to Oxford or Cambridge or whatever, like they don't mention it within like the first sentence of meeting me, you know? Whereas every other Ivy League school, I feel they're always like, they just make it their entire personality.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of shame, I think, around like money and wealthy, which is so weird.
You have not been in the UK long enough if you really? Think. People people don't mention going to Oxford and Cambridge
really?
The minute you meet them.
You know what? Maybe it's because I'm in the arts and they don't want to seem like they're Nepo
yes.
babies.
Oh, that is 100%.
So that's probably what I'm saying.
Yeah. Although that is true though, like because people like wander around with like Harvard jumpers or like collegiate jumpers. If I saw somebody wearing an Oxford jumper or a Cambridge University jumper,
it's true. You know
I would
they
just
didn't
go
there.
Tourist. Yeah, just yeah. tourist. Yeah.
yeah.
So there is definitely a divide, and yeah, especially in the arts, people want to really sort of co-opt struggle that just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very. Okay. That is good. Thank you. I pressed you for a controversial statement. You
came through.
Had it. Yeah. I appreciate it. Right. So we are in the UK, which includes Scotland, but specifically this story is from
Formally.
England.
Yes.
And fill in the blank of this headline so you can guess the missing word. Fraud suspect used wigs and disguises to take blank for others. So fraud suspect took something else in place of other people. What did they do? What do you think that last word is? Fraud suspect used wigs and disguises to take blank for others. It's two words, actually. I'll give you the second word.
It's two words. Wait, you got three words. Two words.
Okay. Fraud suspect used wigs and disguises to take blank tests for others. I'll help you point you in the right direction.
That's harder. That's worse.
So they
worse.
Sat tests. That's worse?
Entry tests, school tests.
Oh, my mind went to sperm immediately.
Sperm tests?
Not the 11 plus.
Why would they be testing sperm for sperm donation?
You know what? I didn't really comprehend. You know, you read that like 5 times for us. And in my mind, I'm still trying to make sense of the entire thing. But I just heard wigs and my mind heard tests. And then I'm like, Buffalo Bill for some reason? Or I don't know.
We're
my mind went really,
I love it.
Really dark for that. Yeah.
Is it driving tests?
It's actually, it's citizenship tests.
Oh.
Yeah. It's an amazing photo of like this one woman with this, like 8 different wigs and she's just going and taking UK citizenship tests.
Over and over again.
Over and over again. Yeah, yeah. Different names and like, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, I was so off.
Yeah, yeah, sperm was nowhere near. Just as a lot of like
sperm test.
Spoiler for what's coming up, sperm is nowhere near any of these headlines.
Okay,
which,
damn it.
Yeah. another headline over in Colorado, Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. Elephants can't pursue release because they are not blank. Court rules. So animal activists said we should try and free these elephants, get them out from the zoo. And the judge said no because they are not
lawyers.
Blank. Not lawyers, because the eco people aren't lawyers.
The
elephants aren't lawyers. Yeah, yeah.
They can't pursue release because they're not lawyers.
Then they've got no legal training.
Can't read. They don't know anything about the rules. How are they going to navigate the system?
That is a good point. That's the one of the big hardships for the elephants is navigating the legal system.
Yeah.
Do you think it's lawyers or do you think...
Oh, man. Can you read the thing again?
Of course. Elephants can't pursue release because they are not blank court rules.
They are not... Small.
They're not small. It's like we've put in a door. If they can't fit through it, that's their own problem, right?
That's it.
It's open all day long.
I love that. As a legal technicality, it's like there is a door in the room, so you're not actually trapped. It's just like a little mouse hole. It's like, oh, okay.
We have put a door in there legally for you, and it's your fault now. You just got to deal with it.
You've got to lose the weight.
If it's not that, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I'm afraid they're not. You're welcome to know that they are not fat shaming elephants, but they are human shaming them. Elephants can't pursue release because they are not people.
Oh.
So they say they can't say that they're in, you know, sort of trapped in the same way.
Some lawyers, not people either.
Some lawyers, not people. Many lawyers, not people.
That's true.
That's very true. Hard biting satire here on FUBAR Radio. We're really getting into the weeds
of
it now.
We're coming down on lawyers.
Watch out to the legal profession. So our final section here at FUBAR Radio is always a little debate, which is very lighthearted, sort of like a low stakes LBC without the phone in, because the worst thing about the Britain is the public. So just my hand-selected comedian guests to debate this headline from the Metro today. Gen Z say Britain would be better off with a dictator. Apparently more than half of 13 to 27-year-olds believe Britain would be a better place with a strong leader who does not have to bother with parliament and elections. First of all, what do we reckon about a British dictator? Okay, that silence speaks volumes. Because almost you look to me like, I'm not necessarily against dictators, but a British dictator. That is scary.
I wonder if young people are just looking at what we've got now and they've been like, does everyone realise that no one's in charge? Do you know what I mean?
I see they think that Starmer's not like...
Yeah, they're like, there's literally not even a prime minister at the moment. Nobody is in charge of this country. It would be better if it was a dictator than literally no one.
Okay, what do you think it's that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think also kind of what's happened in the more recent years makes people go... oh, maybe democracy doesn't work, you know? Like, some of the things that people have voted for aren't necessarily things other people agree with. So maybe people are just like, and also Gen Z, you know, very decision fatigued. Like, all the time they just have to make these decisions and they kind of just don't have power. So if it's just like one person that's doing all the things all the time and driving it forward, then, you know, maybe that's what they're thinking. It's just that one person.
You think we all just want to be babied as a nation?
Just want someone else to do the work, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, you were quite happy for the bird apocalypse just to wash over you.
I agree. I'm not against a dictator.
Yeah.
Don't put words in my mouth.
So we're very pro-dictator here on Fubar Radio.
I think it depends on how good of a dictator they are, you know? Because if I was to look at, like, the North Korean dictator and that dude, I'm like, no, not my dictator. You know what I mean?
Hashtag not my dictator.
No, not him, not him.
I love the counter movement, hashtag not all dictators.
We're still yet to see the first great Gen Z dictator, aren't we? No one's really risen.
Any world leaders under 30 at the moment?
Well, exactly. So it really is all to play for.
But you say it has to be the right dictator. Who would you install in this position, this all-powerful position?
My mum.
Yeah? Why your mum?
I think to be a dictator, you kind of got to know about, like, you know, communism and the other kind of areas where there have been dictatorships or places with concentrated power. Mm. And my mum, she runs my household like a dictator. You know, she's got, this is going to sound nuts, but she's got, like, surveillance cameras in the house and she knows what we're doing at all times.
Yeah.
But she makes rules that protect our safety, you know? So, like, no staying out after this time because, you know, dangerous things happen. And I turned out okay, I think. So I think she's a great dictator.
Okay. And that's why you've moved to the UK.
She's still got surveillance cameras around. She's watching.
What's your mum's name?
Highway.
Highway, lovely. Would you live under a highway dictatorship?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, sounds good. Let's give it a go.
It does sound, is she in the UK at the moment or is she in Australia?
No, she's in, so you're going to have to go back to Australia. But she cooks really good food, so.
I'm in. Great. Sounds great.
Well, let's rather than saving the nation, why didn't we all three collectively just go live with Highway? I mean, you probably don't want to move back home, but we could.
We'll go.
Is there space? Does she have spare room?
Good food, you say?
Yep.
Andrew and I are there.
She's got nothing to do. So, yeah, she'll take you in, monitor you, make sure you're all good.
It sounds very comforting.
It really does. I think this is actually the last ever episode of Pulse of the Nation. I'm leaving for Australia. Yep. I'm going to go live with Highway. If not Jenny's mum, is there a British celebrity that stands out as like, oh, I'd put you with all the power in the country?
I can't think of a celebrity off the top of my head from this wretched island.
This wretched island!
What I would do is just...
Welcome to the UK, Jenny. I hope you're enjoying it.
Lottery it out. Let anyone have a go. But they only have 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
And then we kill them.
Whoa.
Do you know what I mean? The stakes are high. It's moving fast. It's going out on ITV2.
That's sort of like ant colony timings and politics. Like, you get 3 weeks as the queen of the colony and then out of there.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Two very different brutal. I'm much more leaning towards being looked after by Highway than sort of potentially being murdered as an unwanted dictator.
Only if you're the dictator and only if you do a bad job.
Do you enter the lottery or is it just a draft system?
I think it's like a postcode lottery. Whoever's entering that anyway, they're in for the postcode lottery and they're in for the dictator lottery.
You always read the T's and C's of any. Are you aware of the postcode lottery?
No, what's the postcode lottery?
I'm advertised it all the time.
Yeah, I just constantly get postcode lottery adverts. Basically, you enter your postcode into the lottery, and then if multiple people in your area do the same thing, then you have more chance of winning, you got more entries. And then if your postcode wins, everyone that's entered wins a share of the money. So if 10 houses have entered and it's £1 million, you each get £100,000. But if you're the only one house that's entered, you get the £4 million to yourself.
So it's more beneficial the less people around you enter, basically.
But then you have less chance.
But then you have less chance as well. Oh, that's so complicated.
It's the Hunger Games of lottery.
It really is. I was just going to say, I really like this idea of it being broadcast on ITV as well. So it's like a reality television show. It's like Love Island, but dictator. I'm a big fan.
You must wear a bikini.
Great.
You have to be hot.
Well, if you've entered the postcode lottery recently, make sure you are beach body ready because we're going to shove you onto ITV1 in a bikini and you might be in charge of the whole country. Well, look, thank you so much for joining me today, Charlie and Jenny. We'll start with Jenny. You are going to Adelaide and many other fringes in Australia.
I'm doing everything in Australia. If there's a festival on, I'm there basically.
Great. And that's Jenny's Travels, also coming to Edinburgh and London hopefully soon. Follow Jenny at Jenny Tian for all the updates. Charlie, you've got a fantastic podcast, Family Jewels, and a short film recently called The Test. Very, very good.
Thank you very much. You can find that on the Funny Parts YouTube.
Head over to Funny Parts YouTube and follow Charlie at Chazzy Cat on Instagram, at FUBAR Radio for all of the shows here on this station, at Stand Up Andrew for all of my stuff. Join us next week. We're here every week with new takes on the news, new Facebook posts and all sorts of nonsense. So we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.